That lovable old buffoon, everybody's favorite, Fred Allen in person. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, first, I guess I ought to apologize for introducing myself, but everything is sort of confused tonight. You know, opening a new program, you know how it is. I was so busy running around all day telling my relatives that I was going back to work and then reviving them after they fainted that I forgot to bring an announcer, I forgot to bring any actors, I forgot
to... Did you forget to bring the commercials?
Oh, no, Mr. Bascom. I've got the commercials right here.
Lucky for you, Alan.
Yes, sir. That's the sponsor. But as I was saying, ladies and gentlemen...
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Oh.
Hello, Portland, and welcome to my little one-man siesta. The program's just starting.
But where is everybody? Where's Harry, Peter, the Merry Max?
Well, this is a new program this year. Haven't you heard?
No.
Oh, why, this is the Texaco Star Theater. Everything's new but the jokes. You'll find out.
But the stage is empty. Where's the band?
Well, I was just explaining all of that to the audience, Portland. I've been so busy all day, I forgot to hire any talent.
But you've got to have people to have a show.
Unless you're running a flea circus, yes. But don't worry, I'll have everything in a minute. I have got a man dragging a chopped liver sandwich up Broadway. I'll have 200 actors here in no time. Now, you just sit down, Portland. Let me worry.
All right, I will.
And now, very nice of you. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
I beg your pardon, Mr. Allen.
Yes?
I'm Shattuck Purvis.
Shattuck Purvis?
Yes.
The name, oddly enough, means nothing to me.
I'm the official network greeter here at Columbia.
Oh, you greet...
The new actors,
oh,
yes.
I see.
Welcome to the Columbia Network, Mr. Allen. Are you wearing a rubber glove?
Well, not at the moment, no.
Then I shan't bother shaking hands. I never shake hands unless the other party is wearing a rubber glove.
A sanitary precaution?
No, I have a wet hand.
So many executives in radio seem to have wet hands these days.
Yes. My hand is so wet that I have kelp hangnails.
Kelp hangnails, really?
I keep my gardenia alive just stroking it.
You don't say.
Oh, yes. Shaking my hand is like finding 5 clam necks in your palm.
Well, thanks a lot for the warning. I hate those dank handshakes that feel as though one is milking a seal.
I see your point.
I hoped you would. Very nice.
Welcome to the Columbia Network, Alan.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Purvis. Shattuck Purvis.
Well, thank you, Mr. Purvis. The name wears well, but still means nothing to me.
What's that?
Well, it's a new program. The sound man is auditioning for another program 2 blocks down. He's overdoing it, but overlook it. It's a new program. You've got to expect a little knocking now and then. Hey, that must be my talent. Somebody unlocked the door at AFRA or something. But I haven't, you know, I haven't any actors. I'm holding an audition here.
Talent? Talent in radio? Why, this is revolutionary. I'll show them right in.
Yes, I wish you'd do that. Now, order. Order, please. Everybody's going to have a chance. Now, first, boys, I need a band leader. Is there a maestro in the crowd?
I'm a band leader.
Oh, step a little closer to the microphone, brother.
Yes, sir.
What is your name?
Goodman.
Goodman? Benny Goodman?
Not at this salary, mister.
Oh, you are the cut-rate Goodman. Well, what name will you use for what this job is going to pay?
Al Goodman.
Al Goodman, fine. You have a band, Mr. Goodman?
I have 25 men.
25 men? They all have instruments, of course.
20 men have instruments.
20 men have instruments. Who are the other 5 with your band?
Music lovers.
Oh. I see. They're doing away with the middleman. They're right in with the men. Well, you have a dress suit, Mr. Goodman.
This is it I have on.
Really?
I rented it.
Wait a minute. You do read English. I mean, you have just... You haven't just learned all this and by rote, and you're not coming the hoax on me, I hope. You rented that suit? Well, I must say you took the words right out of my mouth, Mr. Goodman. That's the first dress suit I've ever seen with a belt in the back.
The guy talked me into it.
Well, why did you buy that red vest to go with your full dress suit?
Can I help it? I have no sales resistance.
Well, that explains those... They're comedy lines, I mean. If nothing happens, it's up to you. I got a witness. The man wrote when he was... laughed when he was writing them. I mean, well, all right, you're hired, Mr. Goodman. Get your band together.
Yes, sir. Come on, boys.
Fine. Very good. He's a man. He's got something, that man. I hope I find out what it is before... What about an announcer? Is there an announcer among you folks back there?
We're announcers.
Oh, are all three of you boys radio announcers?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm afraid we're only going to need one announcer for this program, fellows. I guess the only fair thing to do then is to audition all of you three boys. I have a short test sentence here. The one who reads it best gets the job. Would you mind trying it first, son?
Oh, me?
Well, yes, just read this one sentence.
Okay. Now listen, Muggs, I ain't no stool pigeon, see? But this time I'm coming clean, see? Texaco products is the best, see? That's a McCoy, see?
You are a radio announcer?
I've been working on gangbusters, see?
You have been contaminated, see? You, the little man with your glasses dragging. You, the little fellow. Could you read that same sentence, please?
Say, listen, girls and kiddies. Texaco products is game back. You're not telling me, I'm telling you. So how am I doing, Border?
Is this your debut, or have you been in radio before?
Have I been in radio, I'm asking. Have I been in radio? 17 years I'm on sustaining. And for 2 years, I'm giving out with spot announcements for Muck and Fuss's mothballs.
Sorry, we can't...
So listen, you are by accident at any time tuning in on the Muck and Fuss masquerade?
The Muck and Fuss masquerade?
Yeah. 6 hits and a knish.
No,
they're catching on, Border.
Well, no doubt, and thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome, Border.
You go away. Now, you, the tall chap.
Yes, sir.
Will you read the same sentence, please?
Yes, sir. Motorists know the Texaco products are the best.
Well, that's more like it. And your name, son?
Jimmy Wallington.
The job is yours, Mr. Wallington.
Thank you.
I guess I won't need you other boys. Sorry.
Come on, Sam.
Okay, which way is Uncle Ezra, Border?
Quiet. Now, what about a singer there? Is there a singer in among the...
Yes, sir, I'm a singer.
Oh, are you? What's your name, Bob?
Kenny Baker.
Say, that was quite a reception.
Yes, I'm a local boy.
Oh, a local boy, eh? And are you looking for work in radio, are you?
Yes, I'm around auditioning.
Oh. Have you had any radio experience?
I was on the Texaco program.
You were on the Texaco program. You are on the Texaco program right now.
Oh, boy, am I in a rut.
Yes. I would say you were. Now, have you ever been in a rut before?
Well, not all over. My voice was in a rut once.
This is mighty interesting. How did your voice get in a rut, Bub?
I sang 3 choruses of Wagon Wheels.
That'll do it. Now, tell me, Phil.
I'm Kenny.
Oh.
Kenny Baker.
Oh, excuse me. Your teeth hang down so far, I thought it was an accordion. I...
Say, you're pretty funny, brother.
Well, thanks. You like comedy, do you?
I can take it or leave it. I was on the radio with a comedian out in Hollywood once.
Really? Who was he?
I forget his name. It was Bunny or something.
John Bunny?
Yes, only he called himself Jack.
Oh.
He was a bald-headed guy.
Oh, I've heard of that old John Bunny. Well, he must be pretty creaky, pretty old by now.
He sure is. He finally got so weak we had to tie him to the microphone so he wouldn't fall down.
Well, how did you get him to stand up in the street?
The laundry used to put starch in his union suit.
That's very good.
That was one for me, wasn't it?
Yes, it sure was.
You know, if I didn't know I was a singer, I'd swear I was a comedian.
Well, fortunately for me, you know.
I'll say.
And which is it? You want to add something to it?
Let it go.
And which is it you want to do on this program?
I'd rather sing.
Well, I guess it can be arranged, Kenny. Now, of course, I'll have to hear your voice. Can you give me a quick audition?
You bet. I've got a song right here. It's Blueberry Hill.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if our orchestra is ready, Kenny Baker submits for our approval Blueberry Hill. Thank you, Kenny. I'll talk business with you later, Kenny. Now, let me see. What's next here? Now, oh, yes. Where's that new announcer I hired?
Right here, Fred.
What was your name again?
Jimmy Wallington.
Oh, Jimmy Wallington. Oh, yes.
Right.
Well, all right, Jimmy. Now, don't you think this would be a good time to tell our friends about Texaco Fire Chief?
Why, yes, friend. Ladies and gentlemen, there are two things you want in gasoline. Power and economy. And one filling of fire...
Oh, gosh, I seem to have mislaid my lawn yet again. Would you read this telegram for me, please?
Why, surely, Fred. Why, it's from your last year's announcer, Harry Von Zell.
Harry Von Zell.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Harry. What's he got to say, Jimmy?
He says, "Dear Fred, congratulations on the beginning of your new series. May you go as far with Texaco as motorists go with Fire Chief. I wish I could be with you tonight. But on the other hand, it's just as well that I'm not."
I wonder what Harry means by that.
Well, he goes on to say, "If I were there, I might forget myself and start talking about that dull, sluggish feeling." And Fire Chief is just the reverse of dull and sluggish. Fire Chief means brilliant performance and flash response. So congratulations on my absence, and good luck to you in Texaco. And it's signed, Harry Von Zell.
Say, it was nice. Make a recording of that. We'll send it to Harry. Say, it was nice. It was nice of Harry to send us that wire.
Yeah, it was nice of me to read it.
Yeah, and it was nice of me to deliver it. How's about a tip?
Oh, yes. You're the little fellow. Jimmy, have you a tip for the boy?
I certainly have. And here's the tip, son. If you want real power and economy at regular gasoline prices, get Fire Chief at your neighborhood Texaco dealer.
Goodman, with his All This and Cymbals 2 orchestra, has just completed last and... And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking...
Oh, Mr. Allen.
Oh, yes, Kenny.
Well, this is later. How was my song?
Oh, Blueberry Hill was fine, Kenny. You're hired.
I did a good job, huh?
Oh, boy, did you do a job. You know how well you sang? I am allergic to blueberries. And as you were singing Blueberry Hill, I could feel the lumps coming out all over me.
I was wondering why you suddenly had four Adam's apples.
Yes, that's what did it. And don't tell Ripley. And please don't go away. Do you want to meet Mr. Baker?
How do you do?
Do you want to come up and take a picture? Why don't you come up and take a picture of the audience? That's the thing to do. Then we have something. But I... And don't go away. I might need you in a little while, Kenny, for an encore.
Okay, if you want me, I'll be over back of the bass drum working on my stamp collection.
Oh, good. Do you enjoy pasting in your stamps?
Oh, I don't care about the stamps. I just like the taste of the glue. Yum, yum.
Save me an old special delivery you're not going to use. I'll be over for a snack later. And now our guest tonight...
Mr. Allen!
Oh, now look, Portland, I'm frightfully busy.
Well, how is the program going?
Well, there is only one way to tell, Portland. If I am not here next Wednesday night, you will know it isn't going. It's gone.
Oh, you'll be here all right.
Well, how do you know?
I just passed the sponsor over in the corner, and he's humming.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Say, that's a good omen. What song is the sponsor humming?
I'll Never Smile Again.
That's all I wanted to know. Now, look, Portland, I am right in the middle of...
Are you going to have a guest tonight?
Yes. This year, to be frank about the whole thing, I am going to try something new in guest stars, Portland.
What?
Well, Major Bowes has so much excellent talent on his programs that I thought that it might be nice if we invited the Major's outstanding amateur each month to make his or her first professional appearance and receive their first radio salary on our program.
And you could call it Major Bowes Amateur of the Month.
Through a strange coincidence, that is just what we are calling it. I have spoken to the Major and everything is arranged.
Gosh, how did you get the Major's permission?
Say, when the Major looked out of the window and saw me drive up in that brand new Chrysler, he capitulated.
And your first guest is here now?
That's right. Tonight you will meet a young lady whom I heard on Major Bowes' program only last Thursday night. The Major and I both feel that she is a soprano of rare ability and destined to go far. Now may I, at this time, present Miss Christina Carroll. Good evening, Miss Carroll. Now, before we start, may I say that I enjoyed your singing immensely on the Major's program last week.
Thank you.
I hope you are not nervous on this, the occasion of your professional debut, Miss Carroll.
Well, to be quite honest about it, Mr. Allen, I am.
Are you really? Would you feel better if I held your hand?
I don't think so.
I get it. Well, how old are you, Miss Carroll?
I'm 19.
Sweet 16 with interest, huh? And, where is your home?
In Cleveland.
Ah, Cleveland. That's the town where a fella needs a ball team. Cleveland is where they couldn't hold that tiger last week. When Detroit left the field after one game, home plate had a vegetable dinner on it, I heard. But tell me, were you born in Cleveland, Miss Carroll?
No, I was born in Romania, but my mother is Hungarian and my father is Polish.
Say, you have the makings of a Balkan crisis right in your own home. Well, have you done much singing as an amateur?
Quite a lot. I was soloist in the choir at the Cleveland Heights High School and also at the University of Southern California.
Well, how did you get from Southern California to Major Bowes' program? Did the Major have a unit at the college majoring in Bowes?
No, I came to New York last May to continue my vocal studies.
You what?
I came to New York last May to continue my vocal studies.
Yes?
Well, one day, a few weeks later, I thought I'd try for an audition on the Major's program.
And P.S., you got the job.
Yes, Mr. Allen. And now, thanks to you and Major Bowes, here I am.
Oh, shut. Don't thank me, Miss Carroll. Now, I know if you had a program and heard me sing. Oh, well, why go into that? But tell me, have you set yourself any particular goal in the world of vocal calisthenics?
Well, naturally, my ambition is to sing at the Metropolitan.
Oh, good for you. You know, to look at me, you wouldn't think that I once sang at the Met, Miss Carroll, would you?
In New York?
No, it was the Metropolitan in Brooklyn, a low theater. But enough about I sang obbligato there at a community sing one night and was held over by two ushers till the manager took a punch. Enough about my off-key past. Tell me, Miss Carroll, isn't grooming oneself for an operatic career rather strenuous work?
It certainly is. I spend 4 to 5 hours a day practicing. And I also devote a great deal of time to memorizing operatic scores.
Well, something tells me that with your determination and talent, one day you will achieve your ambition and find yourself at the Metropolitan.
I'm going to try my best.
And I certainly hope you succeed. Now, on your opening night at the opera, Miss Carroll, if you happen to look down and see a frowsy figure in a tattered tuxedo and burlap spats standing on his seat yelling, "Beast, beast!" it will be I.
Thank you in advance, Mr. Allen.
And now, what are you going to sing?
Villanelle.
Well, thank you. Mr. Goodman, if you will. Thank you. Thank you. And now that folks have heard your voice, Miss Carroll, they know why the Major and I have such high hopes for your future. And I'm sincere about that. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Hey, Alan, you got a minute?
Uh-oh. What? Well, who are you?
The name is Malarkey, Alan. Mark Malarkey, creator of radio comedy. And boy, have I got some swell gags about service stations.
Well, who needs jokes about service stations?
Well, you do. The Texaco people's got pictures of you out all over the country, dressed up like a Texaco dealer, ain't they?
Well, yeah.
Well, okay, if you're going to be a Texaco dealer, you got to have a good routine of jokes to go with it.
What jokes?
What jokes? Get this one. You're in the service station, see?
Uh-huh.
A guy drives in and he says, "Well, look at my hair."
Uh-huh.
And quick as a flash, you go into a Cockney accent.
Uh-huh.
You say, "Look at your hair."
Uh-huh.
"Why, yes, sir. Take off your hat." You get it? Hair.
No, hey. Wait, no.
Look, here's another one. A guy says, "Check my oil." You say, "This ain't no check room. You'll have to take it with you."
Oh, no.
And get this. A guy drives
just
in.
Just a minute. Excuse me, Mr. Malarkey. I'm doing the world a favor. I'm butting in here. Jimmy, am I going to need jokes like that to be a Texaco dealer?
Well, I'd say no, Fred. To be a typical Texaco dealer, you need courtesy, efficiency, and a thorough acquaintance with the requirements of motors and motorists. Then, too, your Texaco dealer sees that you have a neat and tidy place in which to freshen up, identified by the Texaco registered restroom sign. So look for the big red star with the green T's that identifies the Texaco dealer. He's friendly, he's cheerful, but he's not there to give you laughs. He's there to give you service. Service that matches the quality of Texaco products. This is Mr. and Mrs. Average Band's Roundtable, where three persons selected from our studio audience are invited to give their opinions on a question that concerns some prominent issue of the day. This little session is entirely unrehearsed. Fred takes his place at the roundtable now, where he meets his fellow debaters for the first time.
You guys have only been doing one show. You get to bed at 10:30, now you're up till 12 o'clock, you're all dozing off here. Well, the forum is officially open, ladies and gentlemen. That's a 4 hours difference in time, Jimmy, you guys from California. But the forum is officially open. Portland, would you kindly present our first... Would you like to come up and join us? What are you doing there, working for Click? In the aisle with a camera, and I don't see any lights going off. It goes click every once in a while. I think it's propaganda. But, Portland, will you introduce the first member of our little board?
Yes, Mr. Martin Friedgood from Brooklyn, New York.
Well, good evening, Mr. Friedgood.
Good evening.
Is it Brooklyn or Mr. Friedgood? You're a boy. Mr. Friedgood, may I ask your profession?
I'm a publicity writer for United Artists.
United Artists, really?
Yeah.
You mean one of the fellows who goes around writing stories about the glamour folk in the United Artists picture?
Well, that's the idea.
What picture are you writing about now?
Principally, The Thief of Baghdad.
The Thief of Baghdad, really?
Yes.
Who is in the picture?
Seb.
This is what we call on radio a plug, you see. it's all right. Who is in the picture?
Sabu and...
Sabu? Has he got his elephant in at this time?
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't.
All alone.
Well, he's working for peanuts, probably, which he will give to the elephant when he gets him back from the other picture. How do they pay off Sabu? In rupees or what money do they use?
I guess they use dollars.
He counts, I imagine, Sabu, doesn't he?
I think so.
I do Sabu and I do Sabu. But best I can do, I'm up a little late, Mr. Pete. Good. But tell me, when does The Thief of Baghdad open?
Roughly in about a month.
About a month, huh? Well, thanks. I'll make a note of it on my cuff, because I've got my October shirt on, and I'll certainly go to see it. Thank you. And now, Portland.
Miss Shirley Carson from Providence, Rhode Island.
Good evening, Miss Carson.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
From Providence. May I ask what you're doing here in New York?
Well, I work here in New York.
Do you really? I'm going to go farther, I warn you. Where do you work?
I'm secretary to the Department of Philosophy at Columbia University.
Philosophy?
Yes.
Our interview is over. I know I'm not going to get drowned in conversation that's out of my depth. But now, Portland.
Mr.
Thank you, Miss Carson. I didn't mean to be so abrupt, but you and I have nothing in common if you know about philosophy.
Mr. Lewis Olson from New York City.
Mr. Olson, may I ask your calling or profession?
Investment counselor.
Investment counselor, really? I'm going to ask you I hear down at the stock market now
The seats on the stock exchange have swivels on them to so the brokers can spin around and keep up with the market. Is that true, do you know? But you are not in the market for a good, scarcely a cool egg, are you, Mr. Olson? But what would you say as an investment counselor, Mr. Olson, if I had $1 million right here on the table, what would you tell me to do?
Well, the Stock Exchange Institute teaches one how to operate.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a tuition, and I wouldn't want to cut in on that.
Oh, I see. You wouldn't want to do a little freelancing around this $1 million, eh? Well, I think that's the wrong answer, Mr. Olson. I think if I had $1 million right here on this table, the first thing you should tell me, advise me, is to put it back where I got it. Well, that seems to bring us to our question. With our national election, I've got to get glasses or longer arms here, I guess. With our national election but a few weeks away, tonight we scan verbally a matter that remotely concerns the great American ballot. Since the day women were granted the right to vote, husbands and wives in many homes have wrangled about their choice of candidates. You're all following me. Oftentimes, the husband who feels that he is an authority on the men and issues involved will attempt to influence the wife and tell her for whom she should vote. So our question tonight is, should a husband try to sway his wife and tell her how to vote? Now, Mr. Friedgood, how do you feel about this matter?
I feel that a husband should try to sway his wife wherever he can.
Even in the matter of voting?
Yes.
You think that the husband should come in there with the button on that he means business, and if the wife doesn't like the button on the coat, she should not give him a hot lapel to get rid of the button. You think, in other words, then, that the husband should tell his wife how to vote?
Absolutely.
You're sincere. You're not just pulling my leg, because
no.
If you are, I'll take my stocking off. Well, thank you, Mr. Friedgood. You're in favor of the husband dominating. Now, Miss Carson?
I don't think it's a question of whether a husband should or not. I think we can take it for granted that a husband will try to influence his wife. The question is whether a wife should try to influence her husband.
Well, are you married, Miss Carson?
No.
Well, you're just
speaking
from hearsay. I mean, little
my sister was recently married.
Oh, your sister was. She has passed on these opinions to you. Well, it's very nice of her. Having used an opinion, you might as well pass it on to someone else. But you think that the wife should be free to vote as she sees fit?
Yes, I think she should try to influence her husband subtly.
Oh, you think? Oh, we're going to have trouble here. That leaves it up to Mr. Olson, and I'm afraid he's going to be no help at all. Now, Mr. Olson, how do you feel about it? Should the husband influence his wife's vote?
I feel that the paramount issue is harmony in the home.
Harmony in the home.
And naturally, he should not influence the wife and her vote.
Not influence the wife at all. Do you think they both should talk it over and come to some general agreement and both vote for the same person? Or do you think they should lock themselves in a room, fight it out, and the winner come out and vote for whoever he or she cast a vote for?
Not unless she brings it up first.
Unless she brings it up. Well, you have answered a question I haven't asked, Mr. Olson. But if you... If you'll come back next week, I'll try to think up a question to go with that answer you have given me. I'll have it for you here, fried in butter, at 12:42 Eastern Daylight Saving Time, a.m. Well, I doubt our little committee seems to be all muddled up here. In fact, we've arrived at no decision at all. I think that our little discussion will have no great effect on the marital riots that precede each local and national election. Each home, I'm sure, presents a different problem. Many a senator who has been yelling himself hoarse in Washington all winter arrives home when Congress adjourns to find that, after all, his wife is still Speaker in the House. So on this dulcet, far negligent observation, our forum closes, and thank you a lot for your kind assistance. Thank you. And now, Kenny.
Yes, Fred?
How about giving us your encore now?
All right. Do you mind if I sing Cynthia?
Why, not at all, old boy. Now, Mr. Wallington has a word for you about Sky Chief. I give you Jimmy Wallington.
Thank you, Fred. And I give you Larry Elliott.
Oh, now, wait a minute. What is this, an announcer with his own guest announcer? Who is Larry Elliott?
You tell him, Larry. Well, you might say I'm a specialist in ground flying, Fred.
Ground flying? What's that?
That's what I call driving with Sky Chief, your Texaco dealer's different premium gasoline. You know, Sky Chief was perfected for automobile use by the same scientists who created Texaco's special aviation gasoline. And Texaco aviation products are used to fly more scheduled airline mileage in the United States and to other countries than any other brand.
The Texaco Comedy Workshop players. Tonight they present a burlesque of one of radio's most popular quiz shows. It's called Grab It or Leave It. Overture, Al.
This is station KLUK. We now present Grab It or Leave It, the quiz program that's different. Grab It or Leave It is brought to you each week by the makers of Shapiro's Double Duty Spaghetti. The only spaghetti that can be eaten as spaghetti or pulled through the teeth and used as dental floss. Housewives endorse Shapiro's spaghetti, folks. Mrs. Olive Bays of Gimmel, Nebraska, right?
My husband kicked about my cooking for 20 years. Last week, I bought a box of Shapiro spaghetti. He ain't complained since.
And how did you serve it, Mrs. Bays?
I cooked it with knots in it, and he strangled to death. Please, wonderful.
Become a widow the easy way, ladies. Buy Shapiro's today. And now, grab it or leave it. And here is our genial master of ceremonies, Bob Squawk.
Thank you all, folks. Now, here's how our Grab It or Leave It quiz works. Each contestant picks his own subject. If the contestant answers the first question correctly, he gets $1. If he answers the second question, his dollar doubles and he gets $2. The contestant can keep doubling or stop at any time. In other words, he can, quote,
grab it or leave it,
unquote. Are we ready, Ted?
Yes, Bob, and our first contestant tonight is Mr. Ladislaus Twine.
Where are you from, Mr. Twine?
I ain't from no place. I live right here.
You live right in the studio, do
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
I see. Eating old spot announcements, I think, crossing around. Well, what is your occupation, Mr. Twine?
I'm a feeler at an orange juice stand.
A feeler at an orange juice stand?
I'll explain. You see, when the squeezer squeezes an orange juice, he hands it to me.
Oh, and you?
I put my hand down into the glass and feel around in the orange juice.
Well, for what?
If I feel any seeds, I pick them out.
Well, it's pretty trying work, I imagine.
Yeah. Some days I don't feel like feeling, but I gotta feel.
Well,
there's other days I feel like feeling and there's nothing to feel.
Well,
how are you feeling?
Well,
that's the way it's going.
That brings us to our quiz. Now, what would you like to talk about, Mr. Twine? Would you like to talk about animals, books, the theater, horticulture?
The books, I guess.
Books?
Yeah.
You certainly fooled me. All right. This first question pays you a dollar.
If I answer it.
Well, naturally. Expect a little cooperation if you don't mind, Mr. Twine. Now, here's your question. The book, A Christmas Carol, was written about a certain holiday. What was the holiday?
What holiday? The Christmas Carol.
That's right.
The holiday, the Christmas Carol. The boy, that's a toughie.
Well, think hard, Mr. Twine.
Yeah, I was
sure. No prompting in the audience. Now, the Christmas Carol. What holiday?
The Thanksgiving.
No.
The Thanksgiving.
I just said no.
There's two Thanksgiving.
I
know, and it's neither one of them. Now, come, Mr. Twine, Christmas Carol. Jiminy Christmas,
it ain't Christmas, is it?
Yes, it is! That is correct! Amazing, amazing. You have friends here, have you? You fooled me again, I must... Amazing, truly amazing, Mr. Twine. Now, how about it? You want to try the next question for $2?
$2, gee, that's a gamble.
Now, please, no disturbance in the audience. This ain't hell's a-popping, you know. What about it, Mr. Twine?
Well, okay, I'll take a chance.
Boy, for you. We're still on books, you know, and this question here pays you $2. Who wrote Les Miserables? Les Miserables.
Can I settle for a buck and a half?
No. It's $2 or nothing.
Look, let's forget the question. I'll match you for the dough.
This isn't the pot of gold, Mr. Twine. Who wrote Les Miserables?
Irving Berlin?
No. You're wrong. The correct answer is Hugo, Victor Hugo.
Oh, Victor Hugo. Don't I get nothing?
No, I'm very sorry. You missed Hugo.
Oh, yeah, well, you got it.
Thank you, Mr. Send us a roadmap with your request. Now, our next contestant...
Here I am again, boys. Hit me with a question. Quiet. Come on, hit me
quiet,
with a question.
Quiet, please.
Bobby's back again. Anything.
I told you to keep that pest out of here.
I tried.
Hit me with a question, but I know all the answers.
Good evening, Mr. X.
Here I am again, but hit me with a question.
Now,
come on, I know all the answers.
Be patient. Ted, you'd better explain to our listeners about Mr. X's sudden intrusion to explain to our audience.
Yes, right, please. Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, 4 weeks ago, this contestant first appeared on this program. He refused to give his name. He called himself Mr. X. The first week, he answered 6 questions correctly and won...
I had 64 bucks coming.
Yes, and Mr. X refused to take this money.
Yeah.
He came back the next week, answered 8 more questions correctly, and doubled his winnings up to...
I had 13,000 bucks coming.
Yes, and again, he refused to take the money.
Yeah.
This is the 4th week Mr. X has been on Grab It or Leave It.
Yeah, and Shapiro Spaghetti owes me 150,000 bucks, and I ain't through yet. Come on, hit me with a question,
now,
boy.
Look,
I know all
now,
the
wait
answers.
A
what's the chemical formula for sulfuric acid? H2SO4.
Quiet.
Who wrote Think, Train, Abbey? William Wordsworth.
Mr.
I'm just warming up.
Who is this fragment of sophisticated scum?
Is that my first question for 300,000 bucks?
No, it isn't.
Well, then I ain't answering. Come on, hit me with a question.
All right,
come on.
All right, you 10th Avenue Einstein. For $300,000 or nothing, name the 17th, 18th, and 19th letters of the Sanskrit alphabet.
Let me see. Ah, oh, that's a cinch. The letters are Gimlo, Ret, and Lamet.
That is correct. Darn it.
Dumba Sabu McGill Malipa.
What's that?
That's Sanskrit for hit me with a question, but I know all the answers.
This is awful, Bob. Shapiro Spaghetti now owes Mr. X $300,000.
Yeah, now I'm going to double it.
No, now, not now you're not. I'm taking the next contestant, Ted. Get him away from here.
Oh, no, I don't want to go away. Who wrote the Trojan Women? Euripides!
Ted, I'm sorry we ever thought of this money-doubling idea. Well, who's next, Ted?
Our next contestant is Miss Maisie McGurk.
Well, how do you do, Miss McGurk?
Call me Cuddles, big boy.
Miss McGurk?
Oh, playing hard to get, huh?
Please. You live in New York, do you?
Greenfront.
Oh, I see.
The phone number is Red Hook 19970. It's a pool room.
And they call you, do they?
Oh, I'm always in there.
Oh, I see. What is your occupation, Miss McGurk?
Well, my specialty is organizing sunshine clubs and billiard parlors.
Oh, you spread cheer in pool rooms, do you?
Yeah, if I see a party behind the eight ball, I kind of mosey over and drop a kind word.
You are doing a wonderful work, madam.
Yeah.
Now, what would you like to talk about, Miss McGurk? Art, sculpture, taxidermy, plumbing?
I'd rather talk about you, glamour boy.
Miss McGurk, this is a quiz program.
So I'm quizzing you. What are you doing later, good looking?
How dare you? I think you'd better go.
Okay.
I'll meet you in the pool room later. And thank you, Miss Maisie McGurk.
Hey, I'm getting restless. You owe me 300,000 bucks and I want to double it. Come on, hit me with a question. Come on.
All right, you moronic compendium. You've finally gone too far. I've got a question that'll shut you up. Answer this.
Okay, shoot the sticker to me, slicker.
How many hairs were there in Ivan the Terrible's beard?
6,174, of which 369 was ingrown. That's why Ivan felt so terrible.
Correct. Yay! Correct. You're uncanny.
Yeah, and Shapiro Spaghetti now owes me $600,000.
$600,000.
Stop it, I say. It's Mr. Shapiro, our sponsor.
Mr. Shapiro.
Oh, you're just in time, Shapiro. You owe me $600,000.
$600,000. This farce has gone far enough, Squawk. Who is this man?
That's what I'd like to know, Mr. Shapiro. Who are you, X? A Harvard man in disguise?
Not me. The name is Phil Pat Sweeney.
Well, what do you do?
I'm a janitor in Radio City.
A janitor? How did you assimilate this vast knowledge?
I sweep up the studio where they broadcast information, please.
You mean?
Sure. I've been sweeping up all them questions and answers. I know everything. No man living can stick me. Come on, hit me with a question, but I know
what just a minute. You're into me for $600,000 already. If you answer another question, I'll owe you $1,000,000. Shapiro's Spaghetti will be bankrupt.
I don't care. I got me legal right.
Come on, hit me with a Squawk. This Double or Nothing program was your idea. You've got to stump him and get me out of this, or
I've got it, Mr. Shapiro.
You better have.
Oh, yeah?
Philpott Sweeney, for $1,200,000 or nothing, I challenge you to answer the question I have written on this piece of paper. Here.
Oh, sure, okay. I know all you... Hey, this is a brute.
No comment, Mr. X. Let's have your answer.
Gosh. Is it, Owasso, Michigan?
No.
Is it, Nokomis, Mississippi?
No. This is your last chance, Sweeney.
I give up. I'm licked.
Oh. They got him out. Oh, Squawk, you're a miracle man. Shapiro Spaghetti is safe.
Well, thank you, Mr. Shapiro.
But how did you do it? What is the question on that piece of paper?
It's a question he can't answer, you can't answer. It's a question that nobody in this country today can answer.
And that question is?
Can you name one town in America Mrs. Roosevelt hasn't visited?
Every year, awards are presented to the bus companies showing the best maintenance records. 4 out of 5 of the 1940 awards for intercity service were won by Texaco users. In fact, nearly 70% of the buses winning awards in all classifications use Texaco. Since 1930, when these awards were first presented, more winning bus companies have used Texaco than any other brand. The next few moments are devoted to the entire petroleum industry by the Texas Company. Americans have a special knack for giving things appropriate names, names which become part of the language. And in that regard, it is interesting to note the name which the American public itself gave the country's gasoline and oil dealers, service stations. The name tells the story, a story known to every motorist who has ever stopped for air in the tires.
Special announcement. Kool's, America's finest mentholated cigarette, have been radically reduced in price and now cost no more than any...